Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. If you enjoy our show today, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can also find us on Stitcher if you have an Android app. If you really enjoy the show, do me a favor, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes with a written review to help us spread the message of economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com. Now, enjoy the show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show today. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Today is Thursday, February the 5th, and today we're going to be talking about a story that you would not usually expect to find here at the Libertarian Republic. Usually I'm covering government excess, government abuses, abuses of power, anything related to libertarianism in such a sense, but I want to talk about an issue that I think is, in a sideways way, related to the issues of personal liberty, because it involves lies, it involves lying, and it involves the media, and how the media deceives and manipulates you. Now, if you know anything about me or my background, I've spent almost probably my entire life working in media in one form or another. My background starts in the arts, and I used to work doing theater, and then I moved from theater to video production, and from video production into television, and from television I moved to my own production company, which is what I'm doing right now here, producing this show for you. Now, so even though I have extensive years of experience, I do have a lot of professional experience, I have a lot of non-professional experience, and I've worked behind the scenes, behind the camera in many ways, and I've worked in front of the camera in many ways. I am an expert when it comes to media. So we're going to be talking about a story today that I thought was interesting from the perspective of lies that the media tells you, because the big news today is about Brian Williams, his anchor at NBC Nightly News, who admitted that he wasn't on a helicopter hit by an RPG in Iraq. Now, this story got my attention, not just because it involves a very high-profile anchor, but because it involves the media in general and their willingness to tell you lies when they're on camera to millions and millions of viewers here. Now, this guy is, Brian Williams, seems like the type of guy, seems like a trustworthy stand-up guy. He seems like the type of person that you would look at and you would say, hey, this guy's reporting the news. He's an objective journalist. But to be honest, I don't really believe that there are that many truly objective journalists. I think everybody sort of comes to things with a slant, with a bias. My biases are open, you know, but I do try to be objective. And the reason why I say that is because I think it's better for us to have our biases out in the open, rather than try and come off like many of these journalists do and try and appear as if they are objective, when in reality, that is just not the case, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody has a bias. And when I say that, what I mean is that journalists will have a bias in what kind of stories that they select to talk about, right? So think about it like this. If you feel like you've gotten an unbiased, uncritical, or objective report of what you're watching, just remember what you're watching or reading. Just remember, they had to choose which story they were going to cover, right? They had to choose which story they were going to talk to you about, and they had to choose which angle they were going to talk about. They had to choose which person they were going to interview for the segment or for the article. Now, just in choosing who they are, they're displaying a bias or a preference. And to be objective here, I'll also tell you this. While I worked at Fox Business, I had an executive producer there who was actually the picture of objectivity in many ways. So there are exceptions to the rule here. But I want to sort of lift the veil here on media and how media is produced today. We're going to talk about on this show how media is produced and the sort of biases that are inherent in the production of media. And we're going to analyze it through the lens of this case. So let's talk about this case specifically. I'm going to read to you today. This is from page 6 of the New York Post, which is generally considered the gossip column. But this kind of a story, to me, I think has actual national critical importance to the issues that we care about, ladies and gentlemen, because it just involves the idea of trust, that the people have trust in these journalists, and I think that a lot of that trust is often misplaced. NBC Nightly News anchor Brian Williams last night had to make the humiliating admission that he was not aboard a helicopter hit by RPG fire during the invasion of Iraq in 2003, a false claim that he made and was repeated by the network for years. Williams, who'd claimed he was in a chopper forced down by a rocket-propelled grenade 12 years ago, repeated the story on Friday's newscast during a tribute for a retired sergeant major. The story actually started with a terrible moment a dozen years back during the invasion of Iraq when the helicopter we were traveling in was forced down after being hit by an RPG. Williams said on Friday's show, "Our traveling NBC News team was rescued, surrounded, and kept alive by an armor mechanized platoon from the U.S. Army 3rd Infantry. He was busted when vet Lance Reynolds commented on the Nightly News Facebook page where the clip was posted. Sorry, dude, I don't remember you being on my aircraft. I do remember you walking up about an hour after we had landed to ask me what happened. And then I remember you guys taking back off in a different flight of Chinooks from another unit and heading to Kuwait to report your, quote, war story to the Nightly News. The whole time we were stuck in Iraq trying to... We were still stuck in Iraq trying to repair the aircraft and pulling our own security. Amid a vicious ratings battle with ABC's World News Tonight, which has positioned anchor David Muir as an equally strong-on-the-scene reporter, Williams, who has a $10 million a year deal with NBC, made an embarrassing apology. He claimed on Facebook that he had confused events. I spent much of the weekend thinking I'd gone crazy. I feel terrible about making this mistake. Stars and Stripes, which broke the story, reported that a different Chinook was hit by rockets, and the NBC anchor was nowhere near the aircraft. Williams arrived in the area about an hour later on another helicopter. Stars and Stripes quotes people from the scene who recall NBC reporting that Williams was aboard the attack chopper. Mike O'Keefe, who was a gunner on the damaged Chinook, said, "I can't believe he is still telling this false narrative." Williams admitted on air Wednesday, "I want to apologize. This was a bungled attempt by me to thank one special veteran." And here's Brian Wilson's full statement, then we'll discuss this issue. "To Joseph, Lance, Jonathan, Pate, Michael, and all those who have posted, you're absolutely right, and I was wrong. In fact, I spent much of the weekend thinking I'd gone crazy. I feel terrible about making this mistake, especially since I found my own writing about the incident from back in 08. And I was indeed on the Chinook behind the bird that took the RPG in the tail housing just above the ramp. Because I have no desire to fictionalize my experience, and no need to dramatize events as they actually happen, I think the constant viewing of the video showing us inspecting the impact area and the fog of memory over 12 years made me conflate the two, and I apologize. I certainly remember the armored mech platoon meeting Captain Eric Nye and, of course, Tim Terpik shortly after they arrived. So did the Orange Crush Sandstorm, making virtually all outdoor functions impossible. I honestly don't remember which of the three choppers General Downing and I slept in, but we spent two nights on the stowable web bench seats in one of the three birds. Later, in the invasion, when General Downing and I reached Baghdad, I remember searching the parade grounds for Tim's Bradley to no avail. My attempt to pay tribute to Terpik was to honor his service to our nation, and it's been 12 years since I saw him. The ultimate irony, in writing up the synopsis of the two nights and 3 days I spent within the desert, I managed to switch out aircraft. Nobody's trying to steal anyone's valor. Quite the contrary, I was and remain a civilian journalist covering the stories of those who volunteered for duty. This was simply an attempt to thank Tim, our military and veterans everywhere, those who have served while I did not." Now, obviously he's doing a very good job sort of obfuscating there at the end and trying to paint it as if he was trying to honor their service. By what, Brian? Claiming that you were in a helicopter that was under attack? Now, everybody wants to sound like they're cooler than they are. Everybody wants to tell a war story. Even journalists want to sound a lot cooler than they are, you know? And here's the thing. You know, the journalists have incentives to lie, okay? They have less of an incentive to tell the truth in many cases. And let me tell you why. Because a journalist, a television journalist, their job is to get ratings, ladies and gentlemen. They want to get ratings. And so they have an incentive to fudge the truth a bit or to over-dramatize things because television is a performance art, sort of like what I'm doing right now. This is a performance art, what I'm doing right now on the podcast. Obviously, my job is to try and get as many listeners as possible by creating the most exciting or interesting topics or even sort of embellishing a bit my performance and acting a bit, you know, excited or strange or kooky or weird or offbeat or nerdy or whatever, something that will get your attention, right? And I have an incentive to do that, right? But unfortunately, I have morals and I have ethics that probably stop me from getting a larger audience than maybe I could. You know, one of my friends, you know, they always tell me I need to sell out. My friends are always telling me I need to sell out. Well, you know, I do sell out. I sell out a Madison Square Garden two or three times for every show. Meaning that so many people listen to this show that you could fill Madison Square Garden twice over, two or three times over with some of these shows that I produce. So I'm happy with my audience. You know, I would like it to be larger. But right now, I think probably the barriers for me to get a larger audience, if it doesn't involve selling out, it's going to involve an investment of capital at some point or a miracle. So we'll see what happens First. But when you're thinking about television news, it's a bit different because television news, first of all, think of it this way. If you're caring about what you're trying, if you're trying to get educated, don't watch television, okay? Because first of all, the reason television exists is to entertain you, number one, right? They have to entertain you first because otherwise you're not going to watch. And number two, because of the way the news cycle works. So think of it this way. When you watch something like a breaking news report, right, you think, oh, up to date, you know, last minute breaking news. I mean, unless they have a live feed at an event that's going on, it's usually not breaking news. And here's why. Because journalists, true credentialed reporters, they have to vet their stories before they can take them to air. You can't just make something up or take a report and then report on it. I mean, they do. Trust me, reporters do this. They do this. They'll take a story to print they'll take it to the air before it's been vetted. And I think that happens all the time, and people complain when that happens, and rightly so. But a lot of times what happens is that, you know, you'll read a story on my website at the Libertarian Republic one day, and the next day, you know, it's on Fox or it's on CNN. And the reason is that because they have to go, it has to go through a production process, they have to build graphics and banners and elements, and it takes a long time to produce a television show, at least 8 hours of good television. I think that I'm laughing right now because my dad, who's visiting, is snoring very loudly in the background. So if you can hear him right now, then all the three Madison Square Gardens full of people, just so you know, dad's visiting for the week. And so that's the snoring. But the way that television is produced is in such a way that by the time you're hearing it, you know, it's already over. It's already done. And that's why I get most of my news from the internet, just because what happens is that they, you know, you can get news stories, and they haven't been vetted necessarily all the time, but you're going to get them before they're going to hit the news broadcast. Now, when we're talking about lying, when we're talking about not telling the truth on television, I want to read to you a Facebook post that I made on my professional page last night on Austin producer Peterson. And I want to talk to you about this post because I think that it's the heart of the message of what I'm really trying to get at today, ladies and gentlemen. But most people on television are putting on an act for you. I say most, not all, but most. And I remember a story specifically of a man that I knew who was a flaming liberal, bleeding heart, social democrat, Obama-loving, Hillary Clinton-supporting social democrat. And this guy pretends to be a conservative. Why? Ratings. And he does this because he knows that a large section of the conservative audience are low information. Now, I say that a conservative audience, it's the same in all audiences. Now, I mean this because the masses tend to be sort of dumb. They just, you know, the masses tend to be credulous. They tend to believe. They tend to be the type to be ready and willing to believe. Now, if you think that you are somehow immune or that your group or ideology is somehow immune to this, you're wrong. You're wrong. And let me tell you why. Because everybody is prone to confirmation bias. Everybody, every group is prone to want to confirm their biases. Take a look at, I've been bashing the anti-vaccine parents, right? I've been bashing the people who are against vaccines, right? You know why? Because what they do is they get into a group, and then once they get in their group, they start confirming each other's biases. They start confirming each other's biases. And the first thing that the brain does, all human brains, the way that we are programmed, is that when we get information that conflicts with our core belief system, our brain's first instinct is to throw it out. Have you ever met anybody that had an opinion on something and you had a view or stated a fact that was not true and it wasn't a true fact, and you knew that because maybe it was a trope or maybe it was an urban legend, and you knew right away that what they were saying wasn't true, but people were believing them. And then when you call them out on it and provide them with the new information, they get angry? Well, first of all, nobody likes to be told that they're wrong, right? Nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. Except maybe scientists. Scientists like to be told they're wrong. Do you know why? The reason why scientists like to be told they're wrong is so that they can advance a theory. Because that way we're advancing our understanding. And that's how we should work. But, Richard Dawkins, who talks about the selfish gene, you know, I think he discusses in evolutionary psychology, in a sense, how the brain has adapted to survive by not questioning. Right? By believing. And again, I'm going to talk about libertarians and I'm going to talk about conspiracy theorists here in just a moment. But remember, all the people who watch NBC Nightly News and who think Brian Williams is an objective anchor, they're going to probably gloss this over. They're going to listen to what Brian Williams had to say and they're going to think, oh, well, he's still credible. You know, he's still credible. He's not doing this for ratings. He wouldn't lie to us anymore. It was obviously one little fabricated story. But I'm telling you right now that Mark Twain said that lies go around the world twice before the truth can get its shoes on, its shoes tied. I botched that quote, but that's the truth. The reality is that, you know, everybody loves a lie, right? A lie sounds beautiful, just like this lie that Brian Williams told about the helicopter, right? It sounds cool. It sounds exciting. It sounds fun. Lies are way more fun than the truth, ladies and gentlemen. At 9/11 truth is way interesting. Wow, Building 7, you know, vaccine conspiracies, you know, chemtrails. This stuff sounds exciting. It sounds way more interesting than the truth that the government is a bunch of bunglers, that they can barely tie their own shoes. I mean, isn't it more fun to believe that the Masons or the Illuminati are controlling everything than to believe that most likely if you get a vaccine, it's going to save your baby? You know, like, isn't it more interesting to think about all these things? The lies are way more interesting, ladies and gentlemen. They're way more interesting. And so everybody has an incentive to lie. So when you're watching television, just remember everybody on the television, they have an incentive to lie. Okay? And it's not just a financial incentive, although that is part of it. But it's also the incentive to be accepted, to be a part of the group, and to fit in. Everybody wants that. You know, I would do so much better if I did question conventional wisdom, and I certainly have questioned the wisdom of questioning conventional wisdom. Certainly I have. When I see the numbers of the followers leave, when I see conservatives over Christmas break, when I was questioning police misconduct and the killing of Eric Garner, oh my gosh, thousands of conservatives fleeing for the hills because they weren't having their biases confirmed. Because they were being forced to think. I was forcing them to think about the ideas of whether or not something is illegal is necessarily immoral. And that didn't confirm their biases. And that offends people. And everybody gets offended nowadays. I think a being offended culture has always sort of been a problem. It's just that we haven't had social media and the sort of communication networks that we have now to sort of see what happens when outrage. Outrage can bloom much faster, obviously, and easier, and spread much easier. But we also never had any way to keep an eye on it, to keep tabs on it. But when we're talking about the truth, you know, the shows where they talk about the truth, where they talk about the real issues, they usually have the lowest ratings. I mean, I'm not a Democrat, but I watch Democracy Now! Sometimes because it's not just it's interesting to me because I'm a bit nerdy, but because they have guests on there where they'll talk about issues for a long, extended period of time, and they will, yes, it's a television show, but Amy Goodman and the folks at Democracy Now!, they do their best to present actual journalism. They present real news, long-form journalism in a video format. And yes, it's boring. It's not as exciting as like Fox, or it's not as exciting as MSNBC or CNN. But they actually are trying to present some facts right? They're not just trying to do 6-minute segment, boom, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, gone, now commercial, right, for Vioxx or mesothelioma. These are uncomfortable truths. Truths are usually uncomfortable because a truth will always force you to reevaluate your position. And like I said, we all just want to confirm our biases. And remember, you know, here's the thing. Again, I actually don't have a financial incentive in telling the truth because here's the thing. If I created an audience of conspiracy theorists, chemtrail believers, they're way more profitable. They're way profitable. Do you know why? For the same reason that MSNBC viewers are profitable to MSNBC. They're profitable because they share things from you without thinking. They consider you a trusted source. They look at you because you never question their biases. You're always confirming their biases. Then they will take your story and they'll share it because, oh, it's Rachel Maddow. You know, oh, this is the Young Turks or whatever. You know, this is CNN, obviously. You know, they have the same. They're from our group. They're from our group. Let's share. Everybody is vulnerable to this, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm not just trying to criticize Democrats or Republicans, conservatives or libertarians. I'm, you know, saying everybody has this bias. And, you know, the best way to be successful is to never, ever question the wisdom of the crowd. Personally, I tend to think crowds are kind of dumb, right? You know, I think an individual is smart, but I think crowds tend to be dumb. H.L. Mencken agreed with me. You know, he talked about democracy being the art of running the circus from the monkey cage. Democracy is the art of running the circus from the monkey cage. I mean, you know, again, and I'm not trying to say that elite people should be the ones handling our lives. You know, I tend to be a bit more on the anarchist side of things. You know, we should all be handling our own lives. The problem is that in a representative democracy, we have people voting for representatives and for issues for all of us. And, you know, oftentimes there's a lot getting screwed up. Democracy, there's another great quote from Mencken that I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, where he said, you know, people who want democracy deserve to get it good and hard. Something like that. I just paraphrased. Of course, he said it much more eloquently than I did. But the thing is that, ladies and gentlemen, you know, media is a bit of a democracy in a way. And let's talk about this for a second. And I'm blaming the crowds here for their own demise because everybody tries to blame the media for bad politics. Everybody tries to blame the media for bad politics, you know, like, oh, the media, they're just stoking up fear and some of that. And certainly they do. But you watch it. You consume it. You know, the media, we're incentivized as a member of the media. We are incentivized to create what you want. If I created a podcast today about, you know, NASDAQ stocks rising and indexes and stuff, yeah, there would be an audience for it, but not a wide audience. So I'm incentivized to create media that the greater public wants. I mean, why do you think pop culture is called pop culture? It's popular culture for a reason. Why do you think, you know, Bruce Jenner is number one trending on Google and YouTube right now? Why do you think that is? Because that's what people want. You know, they want People Magazine. They want, they want their Liam Neeson movies. You know, they want Magic Mike. That's what they want. So don't blame the media for bad politics. I mean, they certainly play a role, but ladies and gentlemen, you know, hold the mirror of self-reflection up. Media, that's what media is. They're holding up the mirror of self-reflection, what the masses are. You get the media that you ask for. You vote with your dollars. You vote with your ratings, you know? Right now, I got Fox News on sitting up right now, and so I'm voting right now. What do I want? And I've got the New York Post up right here. You know, and then another tab I've got CNN, and then in the other tab I've got Community of the Wrongly Accused, and I've got Reddit, and I've got NBC, and I've got People Magazine, and I've got CBS. So I'm voting. So when you see news or journalism that you don't like and you don't agree with, remember somebody's voting for it, somebody is paying for it. Unless it's something like, oh, Russia Today, where a government's paying for it, in which case you're getting the media you didn't ask for, but you're going to get it, comrade. And so, you know, I'm not going to name names here right now of people amongst our movement that I know are professional bullshit artists. I'm not going to name names, but I just want you to know that they're out there. These are people who know very well that the Liberty Movement is also a confirmation bias group. We are very much a confirmation bias group. And we punish heretics. We punish non-believers. There's this famous Charlie the Unicorn sketch I just freaking love, where the unicorn is, you know, he's saying he doesn't believe in whatever, some like stupid rainbow like religion or something, and so the two unicorns listen, shun the non-believer, shun, and that's what we do. You know, that's what people are trying to do with me when I'm questioning their vaccine kookery. Like, shun the non-believer, you know, oh, he doesn't believe what we believe. You're not a libertarian. Ooh. That's confirmation bias. That's people, that is, it's tribalism. That's the word. That's tribalism. It's not my tribe. They're not a part of the tribe. Why do you think we have circumcision? Ooh, it's a hot button issue. But it's true. Everybody wants to believe, everybody wants to be part of this tribe. They want to accept, be fit, they want to fit in. And the media, like Brian Williams, they want to profit from that. And they can. And they do. And if they tell a little lie every now and then to get higher ratings or to sound cooler than they are, well, that's only going to pad their bottom lines and it's going to increase their audiences. And it's going to make everyone in their group like them. Right? I mean, what do we? We punish heretics. We scapegoat. You know, we love to do that. Like, oh, the problems of the Liberty Movement are blamed on Austin Peterson, who's not an anarchist. And if he was a real libertarian, then I would like him. But he's outside of the group, so we must put all of our sins on him and punish him and drive him from the community. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the state of the media is what it is because that is what we ask for now. If I really wanted to be rich, I would just tell you what you wanted to believe. I would never ever offer you new information because that might be confusing. I would just tell you old stories that everyone already knows and believes, but in a different way. And I'm going to play a song for you right now, ladies and gentlemen, which you've probably heard before. It's a Blues Traveler's song. And I want you to listen to it. If you don't know this song, it's actually very clever, very clever. And the reason why is because this song was written about this concept, right? The idea that if you tell everyone something that sounds new, but the hook brings you back. The hook brings you back. Now, politicians use this. The media uses this. You know, they do, you know, pageants. It's always the same old stories. Remember, there's only six or seven stories. If you've ever been a writer, then you know there's only six or seven stories that have ever been told, right? So it's always the same story. It's just told in a different way. So if you want to be successful, you have to use the hook. Because the hook brings you back. Now, I want you to listen to this song by Blues Travelers, ladies and gentlemen, as we go out. And I want you to do me a favor. Subscribe to the Freedom Report podcast. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher. But just remember, ladies and gentlemen, when you're listening to the media, when you're listening to a song, when you're watching a movie, that you are voting for what you want. And we, as members of the media, spinmeisters that we are, know that the hook brings you back.
was. When I'm feeling stuck in the earth, I got no.